Listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He
as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Good afternoon, family, and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Randall. Amen. On another beautiful Thursday afternoon. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, because we choose to rejoice and we choose to be glad in it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, here we are. I am going to finish up a previous series that I ended last week, but I felt led by the Holy Spirit to kind of wrap things up with this message, and it's titled, Stay Woke in the Church. Stay woke in the church. So it's not enough to stay woke in the world. After we've awakened, spiritually awakened, it's not enough for us to stay woke in the world, but we also need to stay woke in the church. So we'll be looking at that and what that means. But before I get started, I want to pray, amen, set the atmosphere, glory to God. Father, we thank you for this day. We exalt your holy name, Jesus. We exalt your name. There is no name above your name. We thank you for this hour. We are asking that, Holy Spirit, you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is showing us. And what he is speaking to our hearts today. We open ourselves up. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. You are the one who began this work in us. And you are the one who is faithful to complete it, to perform it, to perfect it in us. And we yield ourselves to this perfecting process. And we are resting in that because we can trust you You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. Your heart has been shown through the life of Jesus Christ in the earth, how you feel about us, how strongly you desire to be in relationship with us, how merciful and kind you are. And we thank you. We thank you for coming to get us. We thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for saving us. So bless this hour. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that we will receive unhindered all that we need in this moment. And I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, amen. As I said, today I'll be speaking about staying woke in the church. So the message is entitled Stay Woke in the Church. And as I said, it's not enough just to stay woke in the world, but to stay woke in the church. There is a lot of worldliness inside the church. And when I say the church, I'm really referring to the church organization. And how we come together in an organized way under the banner of a particular ministry to receive the word, to fellowship with one another, to do good works. Well, in that environment, we cannot let our guards down. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to choose and not for someone to choose for us, which requires that we are in a personal relationship with the Lord, that we are connecting with Him through His Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us and staying in this continual fellowship with Him. And it's not a difficult thing to stay in fellowship with the Lord. No more difficult than it is in developing your friendships in the natural. People that you spend time with, people that you have conversations with, and you listen to them and they listen to you. People that you have fun with. People that you share your most vulnerable moments with, you share your desires and your dreams with. Well, that's the relationship that the Lord wants to have with you. Because no one will know you like the Lord does. He knows all the things that are unspoken. He knows the things that are even hidden to you, that are buried so deep. Amen. I would like to start this off with sharing a dream. From time to time, and I would say, over the past, I would say 5-6 years, I've been getting quite a number of dreams. And I don't always immediately know what the Lord is speaking through these dreams, but when I get them, I write them down. And what I am seeing that most of these dreams have a lot to do with these last days, these end times. Amen. So I'm going to share with you one of these dreams. And it took place in a church. We're in a church service. And all of a sudden there was this rumbling and noise outside of the church. And you could feel this presence of danger. And everyone began to run out of the building. And as I was coming out of the building, I was coming down some stairs, and a man grabbed my hand and said, "Don't go this way." And the way he was saying not to go was in the direction that everybody was running. The large number of the people who are running out of the church were all running in the same direction, and they thought that they were running away from the danger. And this man who grabbed my hand said to me that they're running toward the danger. Thinking that they're running towards safety. And he said, "Follow me." And we went in the opposite direction. And it appeared that we were headed into the danger, which was very interesting. And then I woke up. And so I wrote this dream down. And the Lord, as I was just meditating on the word and thinking about this title, Stay Woke in the Church, that the Holy Spirit brought into my spirit that I should focus on, this dream came back to me. And just think about this season that we are in right now. There is this elevated sense of danger, deception, confusion, anger, hate. But what the Lord was telling me that in this dream, everybody was running toward where they thought it was safe, but they were actually running toward the danger. And the Holy Spirit said to me, false presentation. False presentation. That's what the devil does. He presents a false presentation. And he did this from the very beginning in the story of the Garden of Eden. The devil presented Eve with something that was pleasing to the eye that supposedly held the promise of a better life. Let me read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate." So it wasn't like this tree that was, they were being deceived into eating from. It did not have some ominous presence about it. It didn't look dark and dangerous. In fact, it looked pleasant. It looked like something desirable, and that it had the promise of bringing something good into their lives if they partook of it. But it was a false presentation by the enemy. A false presentation by the enemy. He will give you something or show you something that has the appearance of good. The other false presentation is that things are so terrible. This is the presentation. Things are so terrible and so dark in our world today with all of these things happening that we should be fearful and we should be anxious about tomorrow. We should jump into this same fear and reactive mode that the world is in, because look at all of this stuff that's happening. But it's a false presentation. It's it's designed to draw us away from partaking of the tree of life. Now that we have been awakened from a spiritual death into this spiritual life, we have to continue to feed from the tree of life, which is our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Feed from him. We don't overcome evil with evil, but we overcome evil with good. Light dispels darkness. Darkness doesn't dispel darkness, but light dispels darkness. In the church, we can be presented with things on the outside that look good, have a form of godliness with no power, though. But it's a form of godliness. And we are being asked to embrace this as God's truth. But we have to be able to spiritually discern what spirit is behind this. And we have to be intimately acquainted with the heart of God and the ways of God to clearly identify when it is not of him. That we are not passive in our church environments where we just eat everything that's being served indiscriminately, allowing someone to tell us who God is, and not taking the responsibility of knowing him for ourselves. That's like someone telling you who your child is, and you're deciding that this is who your child is, not based on your own personal experience with your child, but based on someone telling you that this is who your child is. It's the same kind of psyche or mentality or way of thinking. I would say that the danger that is present in the church, the deception, is even more dangerous than the deception outside of the church. I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus was saying that don't be so concerned about the one who can destroy your flesh, your physical body. But what's more important is your soul. Not allowing your soul to be deceived. Understanding that it is an eternal loss. That we need to protect our souls. Because man can destroy your physical body, but it's just your physical body. You continue to live. Only God gives life. Only God gives life. And man cannot take it. He can destroy your physical body. But you continue to live. Because you're spirit. You're not just your physical bodies. I want to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here is Paul speaking to the Corinthians with his concern about those who are coming in and saying that they are apostles and prophets, but they're there to deceive the people and to take advantage of them. I'm going to start in verse 12. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But what am I doing? But what I am doing, I will keep doing, for I am determined to keep this independence in order to cut off the claim of those who want an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things they brag about. For such men are counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You've heard this scripture before, but you need to remember that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And then verse 15 says, so it is no surprise if his servants, those who serve him. Now, there are servants who are serving him consciously, choosing to serve him. And then there are those who are unconsciously serving him because they have not committed their lives to Christ. And they're not renewing their minds. Therefore, Satan can influence them. Verse 15, so it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. He's not talking about people of the world. He's talking about within the church culture. That there are counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading themselves, appearing as servants of righteousness. But they're there to deceive and take advantage What's our protection against that? God Himself. Knowing God Himself, growing in the knowledge. Knowing God. Knowing God. There's this intimacy in that word, that Greek word about knowing God. It's almost like having relations with Him. I mean, it's that kind of intimacy. It's, you can compare it to physical relations, but it's spiritual, just being that intimately acquainted with God spiritually. I'm going to go back into the scripture at the top of the scripture, and I want to read verse 1. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. This is, again, Paul describing that, you know, he's come in, he's taught these people about Jesus Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that meant, the forgiveness of sins, being saved by grace, not by any of these outer things that the Jews were doing with circumcisions and all of these feast days and all of the ritual things. But he is talking about this rebirth, being born of the Spirit, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, Christ in us, our hope of glory. So let me read, starting in verse 1. I wish you would bear with me while I indulge in a little foolishness. But indeed, you are bearing with me as you read this. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, because I have promised you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Paul has such a love for the people. His desire is to present the body of Christ to one husband, as a pure virgin. Verse 3, but I am afraid that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, your minds, remember how important your minds are, your minds may be corrupted and led away from the simplicity of your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We can be mentally deceived with thoughts that sound profound and deep, and yet they're designed to pull us away from our first love and to look up to man. You know, this great man of God, this great apostle, this great prophet. And the only one we need to be exalting and idolizing is God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, not man. Man is, we're all the same in terms of we are saved by grace. No one has saved themselves. Righteousness is a gift from our Lord and Savior. Our self-righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. corrupt our version of righteousness. Verse 4, for you seem willing to allow it. Why are they willing to allow it? I'm going to stop right there at that in the middle of this verse. For you seem willing to allow it. Are you willing because you're not staying woke? You're not being alert. Not alert to danger, but alert to the Spirit of God. Not alert to darkness, but alert to light. Your gaze is set on Jesus. He is the rock. He is your salvation. He is your peace. He is your joy. He is your fulfillment, your satisfaction, your contentment. Christ. And when we don't stay woke to the Spirit of God, then we are easily influenced by these outside influences. All of this stuff created under the influence of Satan, the prince of the air, the prince of this world. He created this. He created it through men who gave up their dominion and authority in the earth that comes from God. Because they're still spiritually dead. But as we can see from this scripture, that even the people of God can be deceived by the enemy, by Satan. Just like in the garden, being presented with something that has the appearance of good. Eating from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Instead of seeking the wisdom of God. Let me continue, verse 4. For you seem willing to allow it. If one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you tolerate all this beautifully, welcoming the deception. Yet I consider myself in no way inferior to the so-called super apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speaking, yet I am not untrained in knowledge. I know what I am talking about. But we have made this evident to you in every way. In all things. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. Speaking to the Corinthian church. About how they willingly allowed these super apostles, as they present themselves, to come in to deceive them. And to use them. Take advantage of them. It's a false concept of great men of God, because a lot of times the measuring stick that we are using is the measuring stick that we got from the world. We're respecting and looking up to men who look more like CEOs of large corporations. And they look nothing like Jesus. Study the life of Jesus. How he approached people. And he moved in authority, yet he moved without arrogance and without pride. He moved in love. He wasn't so concerned about his reputation. He came to save the lost. Not to separate himself from them. But he came in among them, seeking them to save them. Not requiring anything other from them, any other thing other than receiving him as their Messiah, as their Savior, believing that the Father had sent him. We allow these descriptions of success, you know, these people walking around in dominance and in control, and we look up to them as if they're just great and powerful men. It's worldly. It's worldly. The scripture tells us that in these last days, even the elect, and the elect there means God's chosen, us, people who've been called into salvation, hallelujah, can be deceived. If we don't stay woke, let me read Matthew 24, and I'm going to start in verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will appear, and they will provide great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect, God's chosen ones. Listen carefully. I have told you in advance. Listen carefully. I have told you in advance. Listen carefully, I have told you in advance that this deception is so strong that even you who are saved could possibly be deceived and led away. Listen carefully. Jesus came to give life, and life more abundantly. He came to set the captives free, not to be prisoners in this world and held in bondage. Not knowing who we are as children of the Most High God. We have to understand that in the church, if we don't see the Spirit of Christ moving in our church environment, then something is wrong, something is off, something is missing. We see things going on in the church. I have been in a church environment not too long ago, maybe about 5 years ago now. Time goes by so quickly. I can't believe it's 5 years. But I was in a church where the pastor of this church was having adulterous affairs with the women, multiple women within the church. We can forgive people, but that doesn't mean that I want to be taught by you when clearly you don't know God. You know of Him, but you don't really know Him. I'm going to read the scripture about love because it's really about the love of God, the love of God being in your heart. Because when the love of God is in your heart, you are not taking advantage of people. You're not in any way. You're not financially taking advantage of people. You're not sexually taking advantage of people. You're not brainwashing people because you love them, because the love of God is in you. I'm going to read the scripture that talks about you can't say you love God or you know God and not love people. How do we know how you love people? How you treat people, how you speak to people. Knowing of God and knowing God are not the same thing. Let's go to 1 John, starting chapter 4 and verse 7. You know, this may seem like a pretty hard or strong message, but we need to stay woke in our church environment. We accept so much stuff. I mean, it blows my mind. When I hear a believer speaking of things that clearly are not of God, and then find out that they're in church leadership, I'm amazed. That you can be locked into an environment and living another life, a secret life, and no transformation is taking place. The scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if we are still living our lives, being sold out to living our lives like the people of the world, where is the liberty in that? We have seen and observed in the world people living according to the culture of this world, having all the wealth and everything else, and yet they're unhappy. People are committing suicide, living in places, in a place of hopelessness. But they went after all these promises of the world, that success in this or in that will bring me joy, if I own this or that, that I will be satisfied and I will feel complete and I will feel good about myself, and yet you don't. You don't feel good about yourself. Because who you truly are can only come from your Creator, your true Father, who has loved you and expressed His love through His Son, Christ Jesus. Let me read this verse. 1 John. Amen. I also need to stay on track of this time too. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know Him, for God is love. He is the originator of love and is an enduring attribute, and it is an enduring attribute of His nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent His one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the one, the only one of His kind, into the world so that we might live through Him. So if you're living through Him, if you're living through Christ, then you're expressing the characteristics of God. Not to say that you've already obtained this perfection. Neither have I. But I press toward the mark. I am not pressing toward deceiving people or using people for my advantage or for my lust. But I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. That's what you see me pressing toward. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, that is the atoning sacrifice and the satisfying offering, okay, for our sins. That's the only satisfying offering, is the life of Christ, the atonement for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement. He fulfilled God's requirement for justice against sin and placating His wrath, satisfying God's wrath against us, quenching that wrath, the wrath of God that was against us. Us, the disobedient ones. Jesus was the atoning sacrifice, the satisfying offering. He is the only thing that satisfies the atonement for sin. Are you living through Him? Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us in this incredible way, we also ought to love one another. See, once we receive this incredible love, not thinking that we've done something. I think sometimes we think, oh, I wasn't so bad. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. The scripture does say that those who have been forgiven much love much. So sometimes it's a disadvantage when you have this belief that you've been so morally upright and you've accepted Christ, so I'm not that terrible. I wasn't that terrible before salvation. That is a reasoning in the end that can become self-destructive. Because you don't understand what a wretch you were before salvation. And you still think of yourself in a way that is so much lower than what God required through his law. A law that could only be fulfilled by his son. Completely and perfectly fulfilled. We can only imagine ourselves fulfilling God's law. And it's in our dark imaginings. 12 says, no one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another with unselfish concern. See, because we're not loving people so that we can get something from them. We're not even loving them so that they would love us back, because it's not necessary. God loved us, and some of us love him back, and some of us doesn't. Some of us do not. We don't love him. We reject him. Some of us. But yet he loved. Jesus gave up his life knowing that everyone was not going to receive him. But he died for the world, for the sins of the world. That's love in operation. It's an unconditional love. I'm going to love you because you love me. No, that's not true love. Not the love that comes from God, which is the love that we need. Because look how powerful God's love is. There's this power and anointing that comes with God's love, that it breaks yokes and it heals bodies and heals minds and restores the soul. And that's the love that we should desire. God's love. Not just people. You know, if people love you, that's a blessing. But God's love is a necessity. Our whole being rests on receiving God's love. People's love can come and go, run hot, run cold. They take it back. But God's love for you is unchanging and it's unconditional. There's no requirement that you can meet. You can't be good enough to receive his love. That's why Jesus came. You could not be good enough. In your own strength, you could not do it. So now we live our lives through him. Through him, his life. We are the offspring. Hallelujah. He is that final Adam. We've been birthed from death to life. Thank you, Jesus. Back into verse 12. I was in the middle of it. It says, God abides in us and his love. Yeah, see, you have to stay woke to the fact that God is actually in you. He is in you. His spirit is in you. God abides in us and his love, the love that is his essence, abides in us and is completed and perfected in us. Stay woke. Stay woke. By this we know with confident assurance that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given to us his Holy Spirit. We who were with him in person have seen and testify as eyewitnesses that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. 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 God is pouring out his spirit in these days. He's pouring out his spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 14. This is Peter speaking after the Holy Spirit had come upon them and filled them, and they started to speak in tongues. And people thought they were drunk or something was wrong with them, because it was unheard of up until that point. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be explained to you. Listen closely and pay attention to what I have to say. These people are not drunk as you assume, since it is only the third hour of the day, which is technically 9 a.m. But this is the beginning of what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. This is the prophecy from the Old Testament in the book of Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see divinely prompted visions, and your old men shall dream divinely prompted dreams. Even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Paul says this is the beginning of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So in his time, he was saying that this is the beginning. And from that time forth, the Spirit of God has been in the earth, ushering forth this pouring out of God's Spirit upon all mankind. And we are in a season now where it's even stronger and in more force, as we begin to open up ourselves, as we begin to stay woke by staying connected to the Spirit of the Lord and allowing God's Spirit to pour forth through us as we move through this earth. We're not all the way there yet. As I said, we're still pressing toward the mark. But stay woke in this season, because the anointing is even greater. Even greater. Because we're moving towards something. Being taught by the Holy Spirit. Not having a need to be taught by man any longer. That's what we're actually moving toward. Hebrews 8 in verse, starting in verse 10. I'm going to read this out of the King James. My other scriptures I was reading out of the Amplified. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." So this is the new covenant that's being spoken of. "I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." The Amplified reads like this: "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, affecting their regeneration. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it will not be necessary for each one to teach his fellow citizen or each one his brother, saying, no, by experience, have knowledge of the Lord. For all will know me by experience and have knowledge of me, from the least to the greatest of them." This is where we are headed. Stay woke, people. This is where we are moving. We have been like babies. You know how they, even the birds do it when they're feeding their young, their little chicks. They, you know, they chew the food first and then they spit it into the little bird's mouth. And, you know, but we are allowing ourselves to be fed by leaders who are taking in the word, the bread of life, and they're ingesting and they're chewing on it. And after they've chewed and digested on it, then they're giving it to us. But at some point, we have to be mature enough to receive directly from the Holy Spirit, to be that connected, to be that woke to the Spirit of God. Because being that woke, we will recognize and begin to see that his law has been imprinted in our mind. In our mind, imprinted, written on our hearts. We'll find it in our innermost thoughts and understanding. We will be his people, and he will be our God. But in order for us to move to this place, we have to stay woke, especially in the environment of the church, in this church culture, especially in our country. There are so many things that are similar to the culture of the world operating in our church. And because of that, it creates an environment where these people, these angels of light, these messengers of Satan, to be able to move among us almost undetected. We're not even aware not even aware. I remember one day when I was at that church that I was telling you that all this sin was going on by the pastor, the so-called leader of the church. And I was in the bathroom one Sunday, and this strong foul odor, because I was becoming more sensitive to demonic presences where I could smell them. And it's a strong stench. So it's stronger than the smells that you would normally find in a bathroom that could be produced by a human. And I recognized that it was a demonic presence. And I started to pray in the spirit while I was in the stall. And when I came out, and in my mind, I'm still praying, that there were people. Well, actually, as I began to pray in the spirit, the smell began to lift. But before that, when I first walked into that bathroom, there were a couple of women in there doing their little makeup in the mirrors and fussing about, and they weren't even aware. They couldn't even smell the presence of this demon. Don't you know that there is stuff going on in the spirit realm that we are unaware of because we are not woke? Spiritually, a sluggard. So distracted by so many other things of this world . That's what being lukewarm is. Not being woke. So today I'm saying to you, if this message is penetrating and waking you up from your nap, stay woke. Stay woke. Everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," does not know the Lord. So that means that you're going to have to be spiritually discerning. I love God's people. And my desire is to see them free. Free from all this mind manipulation that's going on in the church. These controlling spirits. Self-absorbed and selfish spirits. Unchrist-like. Happening in the church. We see it. We sweep it under the rug. Oh, I'm supposed to forgive them. Yes, but you can't sit under a ministry with all this mess going on and think that you're being transformed. Your pastor is not responsible for your transformation. You did not give your life to the pastor. You gave your life to Christ. Your pastor cannot save you. It's Christ and Him alone. And if Christ is not operating in your church, there's not a whole lot that's going to be happening in your life. Hardly any transformation, if any. Not enough for you to live a worry-free life, to be able to stand no matter what comes against you, that you can have peace, that you can rest in God, you can trust Him knowing that it's going to all work out in your favor. Not just saying those words, but truly believing them, that they're down rooted in your heart. That you know how to be content in all situations. You know the promises of God. Not just the promises to His body, but even those individual promises made to you. The things that He spoke to you about your life and about your story in the earth. He loves you. He loves you, and you will not move into your passion and purpose without truly knowing the love of God. You've got to know that you are loved in a way that no one else will be able to love you. That you are completely forgiven. That God is leading and He's guiding your steps. You will not be put to shame when you have your expectations and your hopes in the Lord. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for Your word today. I thank You that it accomplishes the purposes for which it is being sent. That it's breaking down and tearing down lies that have stood guard over the minds of Your people. That it's Your anointing that's breaking yokes right now. In the name of Christ Jesus. I thank You, Lord. Thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. It has no end, and Your love never fails. We thank You, Lord. In this Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining me during this hour. So be blessed the rest of your day. I thank You, Lord, that your people will stop moving in guilt and shame. That bondage will be broken over their lives so that they can freely move in their true identity. That they will move in that power and authority that You have placed on their lives. In Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. I love you. Have just a great rest of your day. And God willing, I'll be back here next week. Amen and amen.